Come on.
Oh, I'm coming.
They'll be here in an hour.
Get up there. Just
we got to put this table together.
Oh, who's coming? What?
The girls. The girls for the bachelorette party that we're having here at the retreat.
Bachelorette party?
Yes.
Whoa, most of the bachelorette parties I see on Facebook are like skimpy
no.
clothes and little
no,
drinks
no, no.
with umbrellas in the top and
no,
Cancun.
We don't do that.
Well, I know we don't do nothing.
No.
Okay.
All
okay,
right.
Now, why is this red and not pink? Everything's pink.
It went
so
with my pants.
Oh, well, wah.
But we'll stay with the theme.
What theme?
Okay.
What's
the
theme?
We have our placemats. Give me a placemat and we'll start putting
well,
them
yes,
down.
Bossy. Okay. Here.
It says, think like a boss.
How many of these do I need?
Six. One,
one
each
two,
end.
Three, four, five.
Come on. Let's see.
One, two, three, four.
Five. Did I miscount?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised.
No. Okay, here are the plates. Here are the plates. Put them out. Now, wait.
That's a cat.
Doesn't it look like a tiara for a bride?
Here's plate. Oh, look at mine. Mine's prettier. Oh,
all right.
Ooh, here's another one. Okay.
Okay.
So
now that
I have to put the plates on
out.
Here. You are so bossy.
Look.
Oh, everybody gets a one of these. Oh,
everybody.
I'm so sorry. I didn't quite catch on.
There we go. There we go.
What? Okay.
All right. Now,
why is this one fancier?
Because there are two girls getting married.
One. Oh, this one
there
needs
we
a
go.
Plate.
All right.
There.
Now, I kind of wanted to make it scriptural, too.
Oh, wow.
Doesn't this look...
what is this?
Oh, well, let's see.
Looks like a laundry thing back when I was little.
Well, we might have to teach them how to do laundry, too.
Oh, well, you put it
all
on,
of
you
the
put
aspects
it on a thing
of
in between
married.
Two trees and let the wind blow it. That's how you do it.
All right.
Back in the olden days.
Now, we were so much on a budget, but I sprung...
Sprung.
For real tablecloth. I mean, real napkins. Cloth
real napkins.
Napkins. But doesn't that look like Esther's crown?
Well, kind of. Or maybe something on Sesame Street.
And then
Street.
Wedding ring?
I'm not sure.
Okay,
so each one gets one, huh?
Everyone gets one.
Everybody gets one. Okay. Why am I here? Can you do this by yourself?
Because everybody says I am too intense. I wanted you to try to
sure.
lighten me up.
That's for sure. OCD.
You're making me nervous.
Do, 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 do. Okay, this poor girl doesn't have one either. She doesn't have a placemat or a thing.
Well, I don't know what
poor
I
baby.
Did. I think some church
poor
mice
thing.
Ate it.
How
right,
about how about these? I think these would be cute.
No.
Yes.
No. Oh, my.
Well, you know, if you hit somebody with it and murder them, you get to go to the refuge place.
Okay.
There. I don't know what book it's in. I think it's in Numbers, though, and I can tell you I've never read those scriptures in my whole life. How many of you have ever read that in your whole life?
I wondered where she was
about
going,
four
but she
of
did.
You are
she
boring. I mean, if you're that boring, then read Leviticus. It's even worse. Why are y'all over there all by yourself? I mean, in the dark area. Did
all
you
right.
buy tickets last?
We got time. We got
no. And what?
We've got a budget, and we've got much time.
Well,
all right.
Okay, look, I stole some cookies. They can each have a cookie.
All right.
There.
Well, we got to put the silverware out. I thought it'd be so cute.
To eat a cookie with? You need the silverware?
I thought it'd be so cute for them to have socks.
Socks?
And so
for what?
Their silverware's in a sock.
Have these been worn and you stuck them?
No. No, they're nice and fresh.
Well, that is kind of cute, I guess.
This one's really cute. It says...
Okay. You know, we'll humor her. We'll
I
humor
know.
Her and put that right there. What?
I know these girls.
Oh, what's that one say?
It says she's a queen bee.
Queen bee. Well, that's got to be for one of the little precious one that doesn't have a placemat can have that one. Yeah, you know, she gets something. Okay.
And this one says something, too. Did I have an extra one of these?
Are you sure?
No!
You don't want the...
I tell you.
I know Baptists don't do Halloween. They do fall festival.
You're...
Okay, look, I brought some more things
what?
That I think would be fun. you know, this group, this kind of people, these kind of girls nowadays that weren't born in the 40s like me, they like avocado.
Are you that old?
I'm older than dirt. And you're not far behind me. Okay. Pardon me. I messed my hair up. I think I want to wear one of these. There. Now, all of you out there that like avocado toast, isn't that kind of the thing to do nowadays?
I put her in charge of the menu.
Did you? Ooh, yummy. Look at that. Where is the bread, honey?
Oh, here it is.
Look at this. We could give these as a door prize. And look, how did you get so lucky to have avocados that aren't doesn't have black junk in the middle of them? Do you know how to get...
When you know how to cook.
Well, that's a four-letter word. You know how to get the thing out of there? You go, whack. Cool.
Woo! She has more talent than I thought she did.
You just don't think I know squat. Oh, look at this cool bread.
It's called halal bread.
Halal, that sounds Jewish.
I thought it sounded holy.
Here, you cut off the end. The end's always the best part. And then you take the avocado for avocado toast, and you squash it on there. See? And then you just smash
it. That looks
Is this avocado toast? Is this what all the millennials like now? Is that what y'all like? Woohoo!
It looks like green peanut butter and jelly. You know, I thought we could have that as our name.
What?
P, B, and J. Peggy, Bain Jones.
I need a napkin.
Oh. On my green, on my white
tablecloths,
now green.
What are these for?
Well,
and these little doobies, what are those?
That's an ampersand.
Ampersand? What's ampersand. That for real? What does that mean?
It means and, like you and me.
Why is it called Amberstand? Because it's am standing?
Am standing, yeah.
Who knows? What are these? Scriptures? Oh, you did make it kind of spiritual, didn't you?
I did. Oh. Look, I got this too.
Cigars.
Okay. No! Baptists don't smoke.
Oh, I know. Baptists don't do nothing.
These are pirouettes. I thought they were kind of fancy.
They are. They're very nice. But your table's getting a little messy here. I'm so sorry.
You are really.
You know, you're just a piece of work.
I just got a little bit longer.
Mm. Okay, what else is there?
So, let's see.
Wait. Look, I brought this. I thought this would be fun. Can we move the bread?
Sure. Yeah. Whatever.
Bonk. See, and then you take this. I hope you don't cut my arm off.
I hope you don't either.
There. Then you can put it on the top as a decoration. See, isn't this a lot more festive than what she wanted to do? And then did you know how to do this? You just take it and go like this.
That's as easy as folding a fitted sheet.
Who folds those?
You just
how
wad yours
of you
up?
Fold your fitted sheets? Oh, you are weird too. You need to get over here with the people that read numbers. Y'all need to go on a trip. Why don't y'all go to Israel with me? I'm going in April. Come on.
I knew you'd get that in.
Oh, I know. Okay, look. See? You do it like so, and then there. You're good? Uh-huh.
Well, I've got a beautiful table.
You do.
With greens and yellows.
And pink.
And pink.
And everything's pink. Let's see if this is good.
Is it good? Well. Okay, you remember those pillows we found in the store?
Yeah.
I'm going to sit you in the corner, and you try to write or draw or something spiritual.
You going to take the price tag off?
I forgot. And I've got one for each of the girls.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
You should.
I'm going to put you over there in the corner and let you.
I have to sit in the corner? What are you going to do? Talk?
I'm going to talk.
Is it spiritual?
I hope so.
Well, I'm going to sit here on the side of the stage.
All right.
Can I have some more of the pineapple?
Y'all give Peggy a hand.
Let's beat the heck out of those cookies.
we're talking tonight about is hospitality. What is hospitality really? I loved how the Holy Spirit just fit everything together. And Laura kept saying, when we come to the table, we've come to a table tonight. This is not a Pinterest table. This is not a Hobby Lobby table. This isn't a picture out of Southern Living. And it's not even a post out of House. It would have been a nightmare if I'd let her have her way. But it's a little crazy. And I hope it comes across as a table full of fun. Because it really is about a bachelorette party tonight. Some friends of ours, of mine, have decided that we would make this retreat a bachelorette party. And so when Carolyn asked me to pull some things together, it was just natural when I walked in the store. Five Below were so gracious to let us go in and her nearly tear up the place and scare all the customers. That these things came just popping out at me, and I thought, how fun to have a time together with paper plates and avocado toast and to pull everything together just to not key in on the stuff, but the people. And we still are going to have a party tonight after we leave this room honoring some girls. But don't you get caught up when you think about having people to your house? You get all anxious, nervous. You think everything has to be perfect. You have to declutter. You have to do a deep clean. You have to keep the dogs in the back room. And my hardest job is telling my husband to behave himself when we have company. I get all bent out of shape, and I'm the one that wanted to have someone over. How many of you are in the same boat if you really admit it? It's true confession time. It really is more important to think about the people that you want to have into your home, to show kindness to a stranger. Hospitality isn't just in your home. It's knowing the names of the people who bag your groceries. It's finding a neighbor that you don't know real well and having coffee together. And it's encouraging the young mother who has a toddler screaming, hanging onto her ankles in the middle of Walmart and giving her encouragement. Hospitality are moments out of our routine when we connect with other human beings and form bonds. Sometimes that happens at church, but we've got such a brief time in that place to form bonds. It needs to be in other places. What hospitality means is reaching out in love to touch a stranger's heart so that they're no longer strangers. The problem is, I hear my world telling me hospitality demands more. Meanwhile, my life feels like less. Let's look at what hospitality is not. Hospitality is not your home. Even though we think it is, if we're really truthful, we're all waiting for everything to be perfect before we open our homes or ourselves. We don't want perfect. People don't want perfect. They want you. They want you to be able to throw down your to-do list, sit down face-to-face, share and listen and encourage one another. Hospitality is not about inviting people into your home, your perfect home. It's about inviting them into your imperfect heart. And hospitality sure isn't about avocado toast. I collect recipes, and I collect recipe websites. I started that when I realized I didn't have to dust a website. I've almost gotten rid of all of my recipe books. I've only prepared about a tenth of those recipes that I pull out. I do admit I have to print them out because I have to touch it and feel it, and I have to get a little flour and sugar on it. But hospitality is about drawing people together in a group around a table where there's a way to talk. It's really not about the food. I cook a lot of food. And I really do mean I cook a lot of food. First of all, I cook a lot of food for my husband. He has to eat 8 times a day to stay alive. And that's really not a joke. And I cook for a lot of groups at the church. At one time, I had a small catering business. To me, food equals fellowship, friendship, and nourishment of the soul. My favorite thing in the world is to see a group of people gathering around a table, munching and talking, laughing, and sipping on cold iced tea. So to me, food is a means to an end, a tangible evidence of love. We're going to show a picture in a second. The most recent evidence of this witness of love around a table was at our phase two. Phase two is our ministry for widows. They're in the second phase of their life without their mate. And so they came together for their monthly meal as a family. And I cooked taco soup for 60 widows and 10 volunteers. And this time we gave a bridal shower for Dow Ayub, who is our associate minister of pastoral care, and his bride-to-be, Amanda Hammond, who is the executive assistant down at the downtown campus. These ladies came like they were dressed to go to the biggest party. It was a wedding shower, and they came with arms full of love and blessings for this couple. To me, food is just a means. It's not about the food itself. Thank you. And it's really not about you. Hospitality is not about you. That's the key to almost everything in life. Realizing that once we acknowledge that we belong to Christ, he puts us in situations to bring others to know him. Then our lives are full and blessed, and we can let go of our insecurities and that nasty little voice in our head that tells us that we need to guard our heart against hurt. When we learn to walk into every situation and ask ourselves these questions, how can I be a blessing to someone in this room tonight? Who is hurting and needs a friend to listen and encourage them? How can I break through the barriers of false communication and reach into someone's heart so that they know they're loved unconditionally and accepted in the beloved? Who can I love today that may not be able to offer me anything in return? Then we'll live a life that is separated for serving and imitating God. Hospitality isn't about the home. It's not about the physical table. And it's not about the food. So what is it about? It's about love. And it is about other people. All the rest are just the trappings. When we open the Bible, we see many stories of what hospitality is. And there's a different definition from what we think. In the Greek, hospitality is philoxenos. We know phileo, which is brotherly love. Oxenos in the Greek is strangers. So hospitality is really brotherly love for strangers. How many of us invite strangers into our home? We all say it's not safe. God's original design for hospitality is extending ourselves in love to strangers. Didn't he say when he was asked, what is the greatest commandment but to love the Lord your God with all your mind and your heart and your strength and your soul? And the second commandment is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. We are commanded to have that posture with our heart, to welcome people, especially the ones we don't know. Take Jesus' example. He said, follow me, to a bunch of ragtag fishermen, beckoning them to join him as he rocked their world. He said, let them come unto me and to some rambunctious, snotty-nosed kids who I can imagine wiped their faces all over his tunic and crawled all over him as he laughed. Then he said, "Eat with me," to a tax collector and his sinful friends, who were all looked down upon by their social culture at the time. And then he said, "Walk with me," to a couple of confused men as they headed for Emmaus. He opened their eyes to the truth of the resurrected Lord. They were all strangers in the beginning, but devoted followers after his invitation, and their eyes were opened to his love. When have you said, "Walk with me," to a friend? These men on the road to Emmaus were really looking for answers. They were confused. Their world had been turned upside down. They were searching. Then a God-ordained divine appointment happened, and their lives were changed forever. God approached them and began traveling with them. When have we approached someone and committed to travel with them through whatever they were going through? These are not interruptions in our life when we come alongside someone to walk with. They are divine appointments. Opening ourselves up to one another enables us to learn from one another and to offer the forgiveness of Christ. Hospitality enables us to slow down, listen, encourage each other, understand each other's pain, and feel each other lose our strangeness and be strangers no more. Do you know when friendship really begins? It's when you hear someone say, "You too? I thought I was the only one that felt that way." Have you ever said that and known how that changed everything in a friendship? What does friendship and hospitality look like in this 21st century? Well, for us and our family, it has been when several times we've allowed people to come into our home. Two different times we've had two different families come live with us after their homes had burned. We've had several teenagers who were struggling with relationships in their families come and live with us. We've had a couple of young women making their way in the world, grasping God's promise of hope, and that there was no more harm and no more fear, and a positive future come and live with us. Then we've had frequent couples come and sit on our living room couch and do hard work to save their marriage. Your home, your hospitality may look completely different, but I can guarantee you it'll make a difference in the person's life that you bring in, and it'll make a difference in yours. So what is hospitality? It's embracing kindness. The heart of hospitality is when we bring people on the margins and bring them in. In Psalm 68, David praises God because he sets the solitary in families. God makes a home for the lonely. Think about these two concepts: marginal people and families. We all long to be heard and known, to be accepted and loved. Imagine how the world would change if everyone knew that they had one person in their life that they could go and tell any sordid story of their life, and they would be loved and understood. What if that person was you, and you shared your story, and you were loved? That would change the world. When we reach out and create a place to love, a safe place like that refuge that we learned about this evening, when we help God create that safe place, we're living the gospel. We are providing a place where there'll be strangers no more. Just like in the story of the Good Samaritan, think about that story. We've taught it to our children, but what have we applied it to ourselves? There was a traveler, a sojourner, that foreigner, who fell among hard times. But there are a few of us in here who have fallen among hard times. And he was left along the side of the road. And there were many, many who passed him by. They did nothing to relieve the pain of the beaten man. Do you know how many beaten down women there are that just need someone to understand their pain? There are a lot who passed him by and just stubbed their nose. And they said, well, you shouldn't have been in the wrong place at the wrong time, so suck it up, buttercup. But the Good Samaritan acted in hospitality, did a kind deed, lived out the word of the law, and which was love the Lord your God with your whole self and love your neighbor. He brought a marginal man into a safe place. He bound his wounds, he cared for his needs, and he treated him like family, and then returned to show him that he was not alone. Sounds like the definition of hospitality to me. So what does kindness look like? It's inviting them in. Like the scripture says in Matthew 25, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you invited me in. And when I was in prison, you came to me. This is how we started soup kitchens and food pantries and clothes closets, care for widows and orphans, and invited women who are too loud into our homes. Kindness goes further than those niceties when we feed the masses at the holidays. Obedience is what hospitality is. Obedience to living out who Christ is. And it gets messy. Have you ever thought about committing yourself to once a week going to an assisted living home and combing an elderly woman's hair and having a conversation with her, even if it's a one-sided conversation, but treating her like she was a member of your family? Try this for an example of hospitality. Think about somebody you've just gotten to know. Text them out of the clear blue sky and say, need anything? They'll probably text back and say, you must have the wrong number. But if we can reach out and eliminate a little stress in someone's life and help them know there's somebody there you can call on, that's hospitality. I have a coworker who, when I ask her to do something for me, she replies, it will be my pleasure. After nearly 5 years of working together and hearing her say that at least 3 times a day, it never gets old. It always brings a huge smile on my face, and I'm very aware that she has a choice whether to serve me or not. And it makes me feel warm and fuzzy on the inside. I really don't know why she puts up with me. But I never want to take advantage of her and the way she has made me feel comfortable and drawn me in. The words you choose to show as kindness to those around you make an eternal difference every day. That's hospitality. Whoever said hospitality begins at home? They hadn't seen me when I haven't had my first cup of coffee, because I don't talk before 9 o'clock. And I apparently passed that along to my daughter. She's a school teacher, and her 4-year-olds know, don't talk to Ms. R until straight up 9 o'clock when she's finished her coffee. But how can we expect our children and our mates to understand what hospitality is until they're shown it at home? So hospitality does really start at home with your own family. Now here's an experiment you can try. In the middle of the week, make a weekend kind of breakfast and have it ready for them. And you be down there, makeup on, and bubbly, shiny, excited. And when they say, "What's wrong with you?" or "What do you want from us, Mom?" don't be offended, but just say to them, "You're so special. I thought you deserved something special." I guarantee you, it will make a difference in their day and their attitude. We've looked at serving people where we live. Let's look at how we can open our homes. No matter how many times I've had people in our home for 48 years, I still get nervous. Rick says it's irritated. I think of the story of Mary and Martha, and then I think, Martha must really be my sister. She was so frustrated with Mary. Can you imagine? This is about what she did. She marched up with her hands on her hips and griped at Jesus. I can't imagine. She was so irritated, anxious, troubled about everything. And she had the creator of the universe in her house. She was having a heart attack. No, not a medical heart attack. She was having an emotional and spiritual heart attack because she allowed things and feelings and the rush of time to get in the way of a divine moment. Mary had opened the door and allowed the master to come in and sat at his feet. Listening, hearing, encouraging, loving, giving of herself to him. Martha was still just struggling with all the worldly trappings. No, Martha, he didn't want more. He didn't want perfect food. He didn't want a perfect Martha. He just wanted her imperfect heart so he could change it. Remember, less is more. And he said, "I just want to spend time with you." Ready your heart to do a very scary thing. Trust God unwavering with others so that we can feel free to love them with a pure heart. Here's another important thought. What we have lost in striving for perfection is the comfort and companionship that comes from being with another person in their mess. Life is about making relationships more of a priority than the homes that that relationship takes place in. Hospitality is rarely convenient. We must be willing to interrupt the lives of others and let our lives be interrupted to truly experience hospitality that Jesus practiced. Not long ago, I was in the home of a woman for lunch. She had invited several women. Some of us knew each other and some of us didn't. She told us a little bit about each person so that we could become acquainted with them. And we really began to share and get to know each other. She had these cute little vases, blue and white vases with little flowers in them. And we all just commented on what a sweet thing. And she said, "Dollar store in Kroger's." I left thinking I was so grateful that I had been there on the receiving end and that I had entered a safe place and that I was joyfully anticipated and unreservedly welcomed. Our conversation went deep that day, but we were all encouraged and challenged as we left. There's a way to go deeper in your conversations, and it's to have 5 or 6 questions ready to ask, not like you're interrogating, not like you're snooping, but to share and get people to think and know that you are really interested in their lives. One of them is, "When did you realize ... going along with the conversation? I would ask,
these two girls getting married. When did you realize you wanted to marry him? When did you realize what God's will was for your life? Another one of the questions is, how did you feel? Dot, dot, dot. How did you feel when you found out you were going to become a mother? That stirs up so many emotions. You really go deeper and begin to form friendships. What did you learn from your last quiet time with the Lord? Beginning to share intimate moments like that is what friendship and hospitality is all about. Other practical ways for opening your home is to think about the people you're inviting to have come over. Create a welcoming environment by using what you have. My son-in-law always says, I love to go shopping in Mimi's pantry. Don't we store up so much? We overstock. So be creative, and you don't have to break the bank to have someone over. My mom used to surprise us on Friday night. She'd make rice and chicken, and then I promise you, she would close her eyes and go to the pantry and pull out 10 cans. And then she'd put bowls around the table on a Lazy Susan, and we'd spin those bowls and then take spoonfuls of it out and put it on top of the chicken. Peanuts, coconut, not Brussels sprouts. I always say, keep it simple, sweetie. Less is more. You don't even have to have a meal when it comes to hospitality. Play cards. How many of you have ever played dominoes? Good. I thought it was a lost art. Chicken foot? Okay. Here's another thing about having people into your home, opening your home. Share the load. Ask them to bring part of the meal. Or don't serve a meal at all. Play games and eat veggies and dip. Drink water. Keep the group at a size that's comfortable for you in your home. And if you do decide to serve a meal, serve breakfast for dinner. It's cheap. Give everybody a job. That includes cleanup. My best friend and I have been close for 36 years, and she knows more about my kitchen than I do. She washes the dishes every time we have a group over. That's her job, and don't mess with her. Allow somebody else to call the shots for entertaining in your home. You all know Carolyn O'Neill and how she can voluntold you. Well, Carolyn and I have known each other and been close friends for 36 years. And she was the director and I was the co-director of the Day Spring class when Beth taught for 11 years. Carolyn always thought the Christmas party had to be at my house, whether I liked it or not. So one year it came time for the Christmas party, and I was in the middle of remodeling my kitchen. That didn't make any difference to her. I didn't even have a kitchen sink. So the night before the party, Rick went out and he got a dual mop sink and put it in the kitchen. I didn't have any door cabinets. I didn't have any countertop. We put plywood down. I stapled something up on the front of the cabinets. And 90 women showed up. We had women in the bedrooms eating on the bed. Women sitting on the stairs eating. There were women every square inch of that house. And you know, we're still close to a whole lot of them. And I've seen about 10 of them here this evening. Y'all remember that night? You didn't care if I didn't have a kitchen sink, did you?
There are two ways that you share in hospitality that I bet you don't even know about. We're going to put a picture up here in just a second. We have a ministry called Men Serve, where pastoral care work with Men Serve to put men and their skills or learning skills to witnessing, not witnessing, but helping widows do their honey-do jobs since they don't have their honey anymore. And over the last 5 years, over 600 men have gone into 160 women widows' homes and done their honey-do jobs. Now, you participate in this because you encourage the guys. If you're in Summit, you've been encouraging those men to come out of Summit and go. If your husband is one of these, you've been participating in hospitality. And it has changed these women's lives. Do you know they know that this church loves them more than anything else? And they tell everybody how much we love them. So if you are an encouraging single who's encouraged those guys to go, or you are a wife whose husband has gone, we thank you so much for participating in that. There's another way that you have been participating in hospitality, and it's called Hope House. Hope House is a ministry of our church where families who are coming to Houston for treatment can be our guests. We have three residences. It began 13 years ago when Kelly and Greg Mott were going through the cancer with Kelly's mom at MD Anderson. They went every day for treatment. They saw people hurting. They saw them as they had been taken away from their family and their support system. And the Lord laid on the Mott's heart for our church to have a ministry that took care of families as they were going through a battle with cancer. It is my distinct honor to coordinate Hope House. I'm going to show you a few pictures of some of our Hope House guests. They're your guests. They stay for free while they're going through surgery and treatment. We have made a difference in their life. Sometimes it's a difference between life or death because they couldn't have afforded to come and pay for housing while they were going through treatment. Some of them leave healed. Some of them don't. And then we in pastoral care are your representatives. As we stand beside their bed and Jesus comes to get them. But you make it happen through your tithes and offerings. You are the heart of hospitality. There is a clip, two videos I want to show. Because many of these people, when they come, we tell them, we are your church family. We are here to open our doors and open our hearts for you so that you can take care of just getting well. We'll take care of everything. So they come and are part of our church. Recently, we've had a young 17-year-old who has ovarian cancer. And she has come to be a part of our youth. And our youth have changed her world. She was going to have stem cell. She did have stem cell transplant about 3 weeks ago. I want to show you what our kids did for her the night before her transplant.
Hey, Matt, I'm so glad to have you while you were here. I can't wait to have you back when you come back, and we're praying for you, and I can't wait to see you again. Thank you.
Hey, Maddie, we're so grateful for you. We miss you. We're praying for you, and we're rooting for you, and we know you're going to do great.
Hi, Maddie, we're praying for you. We love you.
Hey, Maddie, we're here at the Student Ministry, and we are praying for you. We love you, and we're so glad that you're a part of our ministry.
Hi, Maddie. I only got the chance to meet you really briefly a couple Sundays ago, but you were such an inspiration to me, and I just want to let you know that everyone here is praying for you, and we're just praying that God will deliver you through this time. And I just pray that you remember that God is faithful and he loves you more than anything and he has a plan for your life.
Hey, Maddie, we just want to know that we're thinking about you and we hope you have a great day.
Hey, Maddie, we love you. We're praying for you.
Hey, Maddie, we're praying for you. We love you so much. I hope everything goes well and you're in my house prayers all the time. We love you.
Hey, Maddie, hope you're doing great. Praying for you. We miss you and we love you.
Starts at the top and goes down.
Hi, Maddie. This is Pastor Greg here, and I just wanted to say hello to you and also tell you that I'm praying for you. I hope you're doing well. I know this is a trying time. I know that there's a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety, difficult things that you're going through, but I just want you to know what a witness you are to us and what an encouragement you've been to the students here at our church, and we're just so glad to know you and to be with you and to call you a friend. And just wanted you to know that I'm praying for you today and the Lord's got you right in his hand. He's taking care of you. There's a verse in Psalm 46:1. It said, God is our ever-present help in times of difficulty. So trust in that and allow the Lord to just take care of you. And we love you and we're praying for you today.
I love it how a church comes together. I love how you have been the arm of hospitality. I want to give you one more idea for something to do to show hospitality. That learn to cook a meal together. I want to show you an example of what we did in our family. We have some friends who grew up in Hong Kong, and we wanted them to teach us how to cook Chinese food. So we begged them and begged them, and finally the husband bought me a how-to video, how to make sushi. So we even went to the Asian market together, and we bought the seaweed and the raw fish and the sticky rice and the bamboo mat to roll it all up. And I wanted to know everything of what to do so that when they came over, we could all do it together. So they came, and then they confessed that they buy their sushi. They don't make it. But we decided to do it anyway, and then I got this idea. I know another couple who just moved to Houston. They were missionaries in China for 16 years. I'll invite them to come over, and they can share about the home that they loved so much and left in Hong Kong. And so here's a picture of us making sushi around our kitchen counter. Jennifer's in the background, Janet's in the front, and I have the apron on. Little did I know that was the last time Janet was going to be in my kitchen. She fell ill and passed away 2 days before Harvey. What if I hadn't taken the time to open my doors, to open my kitchen, and to open my heart? But this is a fun night, and we want to honor these two girls and some of their wedding party. So Heather, come up here, and Amanda Hammond, come up here, and her wedding party, Jessica, and Candace, if Candace isn't in the prayer room doing something spiritual, and Sherry and Maribel, would y'all come up? So here's a little tiara for you. And we have a pretty pillow for you. Oh, she's eating your food. Come on. And I made a little tiara for you. Okay, girls, come on. Don't be shy. I hope you come back to our church.
There's only four pillows and six kids.
No, there's more in there.
Oh, well, here.
Okay, Sherry.
Here's your pillow.
So, Candace and Jessica are Amanda's bridesmaids. Sherry and Maribel and I are the mother sisters of Dow, who Amanda is marrying. And we have watched God bring them together, literally. The first time I was with Amanda and Dow happened to walk into the room, I got this wash of the Holy Spirit all over me that said, they're going to get married. And I went, oh, no. But we had the honor and the pleasure to watch that happen. And so that makes it very special. And Heather, we know this is a very special time for you. And you have worked so hard to put this together. So they're going to stay here for just a second. I have one more word to say. And then we're going to go party. At the Last Supper, Jesus said to his disciples, remember what we have done together. Remember how we have walked together. Remember how your lives have been changed. And he took and he broke the bread. And he made our lives new. Will you dare to help somebody else's life be new? Thank you, ladies.